In a world of hybrid work, the opportunities to really share your wins, your successes, not just here's what I got to do by Wednesday, but how are you highlighting and how are you pulling from your people? We have to be very deliberate about asking for that feedback or giving that feedback. And so how we operate a team meeting on Zoom may be, you know, different than how we do it in a meeting room or when we have half people on the phone and half people, you know, not, whatever it may be, whatever platform we're using. And I think in this world of hybrid work, then we have to be really cognizant. If we can't see people or if they're choosing to have that, how are we thinking about them and their potential and their performance?
Welcome to another episode of Team Anywhere, where CEOs, leaders, and experts at building teams,
companies,
organizations,
and amazing cultures share how to lead from anywhere in the world. I'm your co-host on the East Coast, Ginny Bianco-Mathis.
And I'm your co-host on the West Coast, Mitch Simon. And we invite you to join us to Team Anywhere.
Hello and welcome to another live video episode and audio episode of Team Anywhere. I'm your co-host on the West Coast where, oh my gosh, the summer has begun. I think it's hit about 80 degrees. And I think in Canadian, that's like, I don't know, 26 something. And that's on the West Coast. On the East Coast, our incredible co-host, Dr. Virginia Bianco-Mathis. Ginny, how are you today?
I am fabulous. And I'm in sunny Cocoa Beach today. And it is a gorgeous day with a nice breeze, probably like a San Diego day, Mr. Mitch.
Well, great. We know what that is. Us in Canada, we love Floridians. No, we don't. We do love Canadians. And can you introduce us to our new favorite Canadian today?
I certainly can. Today, we are excited to have Tammy Heerman, and she comes to us from Toronto, and she was a senior vice president at Lee Hecht Harrison, Global Leadership Development Program, and has an undergraduate and graduate degree specializing in business, marketing, and human resources. She's a consultant dedicated to shifting mindsets, and that's what we want to hear about, and advancing skill sets so that people can achieve their aspirations. And her work concentrates on high potential women and minority groups, and we'll dig into some of that. Welcome.
Thank you, Mitch and Ginny. I'm pleased to be here. Congratulations on the success of your show. But as to your weather comments, I have to say boo.
Sorry about that. You know,
it's not nice here in Toronto.
You're up there, you know, in the world. What is it like in Toronto today?
Well, we did have a little bout. I'm looking out the window. We did have a little bout of taste of summer, but now it's back down to really chilly. Again, I can't do the conversion Celsius to Fahrenheit, but it's chilly. I've got my puffer coat back out. So.
Wow. Oh, did you?
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's dig into some of your great thoughts. So think about the last 2 years, and it's been quite an up and down for all of us. During this sort of social experiment, what have you learned?
Yeah. So my first thought is that we're human. People are human. And it seems like such a funny thing to say, but I grew up in, you know, the organizational times where I was told by my managers to kind of separate who I was at home and who I was in the office. And I distinctly remember a piece of feedback where a former manager told me, you know, about a client of hers whose father had passed. But when she came into the office as an executive, you know, she was, and so I lived with this veneer, as I know a lot of people did. And I think, you know, we've learned that we can't separate. And when we do separate, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. So one, we're certainly human. And so we gain perspective about kind of what life and work means to us. Certainly we see that through the numbers with people kind of moving around and in their career decisions. And I'd say kind of the third thing is we've really have the opportunity kind of once in a generation to rethink work. And it's funny because just this morning in my news feed, I saw an article. It was the chief human resources officer of Autodesk, so a tech client that I actually, or tech company that I actually know quite well. And they are very, you know, one of the few tech companies that are saying, no, we're moving forward with our flex forward policy, you know, where the others are kind of saying, no, you have to come into the office. And the results that they're having are amazing. Lower attrition than even before the pandemic. Their increase in hires, minority hires, diverse hires is skyrocketing. So they're in a better place than they've ever been, which is kind of cool. So I think that is a bit of a case study for, you know, this can work when we rethink.
Wonderful. And love the term they're using, flex forward. That's very interesting. So your work revolves around people changing their mindsets, leaders and managers in the workplace. Can you talk about what that means, how they need to change their stories? Give a couple of examples.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in the, you know, training, leadership development, executive development industry for 25 years. And what's dawned on me in the last decade or so is that organizations, I mean, it's a $1 billion industry, right? We're putting people through workshops and skills, and we tell them, you know, here's a toolkit, do this, do that. And sometimes it works, but most of the time it doesn't. And it's because we don't first start with, okay, what's the story you're telling yourself about this particular skill or topic? And I always start with, like, we get it when we talk about athletes or performers, professional performers of all kinds. They know their head game. The stories that they tell themselves is as equal, if not more important than their physical performance. Like, we get that. Oh yeah, of course an athlete thinks about that, or a pop star or whoever. But why not those of us in the offices and cubicles and basement desks? And so I'm on this mission to kind of normalize that oftentimes we tell ourselves some pretty crappy stories about things, and we need to deal with that first, because our beliefs shape our mindsets and they shape our behaviors, and we need this cycle to be positive.
Excellent. So can you give me an example, or our audience an example, of how in working with a group or with a leader, they changed their story?
Yeah. So let's give, I'll pick an example of a networking workshop, let's say, because I deal with a lot of professional services organizations where they need to, you know, expand their networks to become successful. And, you know, again, we put them through with the tools, but when you really get into individual conversations, or you create a nice vulnerable space for people to be able to share, they start saying things like, well, I don't know what value I have at all to my network. I could never go up to them or ask them for a meeting. They're more senior than me. They're more experienced than me. They're more, you know, what business do I have asking them for, you know, for some time? Or, oh, they canceled on me, so that must mean that I'm not a priority or I'm not important. So we make up all these stories, and our mindsets around, do I have value to add? You know, is a pretty damning mindset. And so first we work through, okay, you know, let's talk about all the ways you are valuable, you do add value, and really get them to believe that. Let's talk about your relationship with hierarchy and authority, and why can't you go talk to that senior leader? Because in the workshop opening, they told you that they're ready to have conversations and help people along in their careers. So that's kind of a really tangible example of, it's so easy to just go in and say, here's the workshop on networking, you know, go do this. When most people are sitting back going, I could never do that. That doesn't work for me.
Totally. And I think if we looked also at the other side, leaders too are finding they have to change their stories. I have this picture in my mind what a leader needs to be. And it's quite different than what we're finding that people are working from home or across the world are saying they need from you. So changing that story is what we're finding. I know Mitch is also finding. But that leads really well into something else you work on, which is, you feel that leaders need to change their conversations, that really needs to happen. Can you talk about, in fact, you've identified 6 different ways. Love to hear from the major points of that.
Yeah, so that was a beautiful intro, Ginny, when you said that it's never been harder for leaders to kind of do their jobs, because there's the business or the organizational aspects, but then there's all this stuff around us being humans and messy humans and empathy. And we've been hearing so much about, empathy fatigue or compassion fatigue and all these things, but guess what? That's not going away, right? Us as humans are not going away.
I just have no more empathy.
I have empathy until like 5 o'clock and then I'm done.
Yeah. That's right. Taps out. And I get it. It does. It's like, oh my goodness, I just can't talk about, this stuff anymore. But we know that that's part of the job now, right? So what I've been talking about are kind of, what are the 6 conversations that people need to have with their leaders and leaders need to ensure they're having with their people? And so some of them we've always been having, but I think the context has changed. So that check-in conversation, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine. But I think there's a nuance now to that, because things happen in our personal lives. We may or may not choose to share that. Leaders may not hear all of that, but there's also all these world and local events that happen that are impacting people. So I remember, a woman that I was coaching when things happened in Iran with the woman who was, killed by the morality police. She's an Iranian who has family back there. For months, she was still traumatized. And she said, I don't know, my manager stopped asking me and it's still impacting me. And I don't know what to do. Like, should I talk to them about it? And our whole coaching session was just on that. And so the check-in conversation, I think, is something that we really have to learn how to do well. And then there's the, here's what I'm working on, the task conversation. That's number 2. But again, I'm always urging people, you have to find out, especially in a world of hybrid work, the opportunities to really share your wins, your successes, not just, here's what I got to do by Wednesday, but how are you highlighting and how are you pulling from your people their wins and successes so you really know what's going on?
So you have to really ask that, right?
Yeah.
Well, what are 3 things that went really well?
Exactly. That's a great way to kind of get to it quickly. Right. And then, of course, there's always been the career conversation. But again, in this world of, talent's hard to find, restructuring, all of these things, that's more important than ever. But I think what has changed is kind of the last 3, influence, visibility, and impact, because people are potentially hybrid, is getting feedback on how do I influence in this hybrid world? How do I understand what's important to my stakeholders when I may not be able to see them as often? How do I gain visibility when I can't just pop by and see them in the coffee room perhaps? And how am I having impact? I can't tell you how many people struggle with social anxiety in going back to having conversations in person.
Yeah, they forgot.
On impact, then, how do people now in this virtual landscape, how do they figure out whether they're having impact? Not that they knew before, by the way, but how are they figuring out now?
They may or may not have known before, right? And so my point is, we have to be very deliberate about asking for that feedback or giving that feedback. And so how we operate a team meeting on Zoom may be, different than how we do it in a meeting room, or when we have half people on the phone and half people, not, or on the Zoom, whatever it may be, whatever platform we're using. So I think we constantly have to ask and give feedback around, how am I landing? Are my points coming across? Do people feel that they're included in this conversation? All of those things. I think we have to be incredibly deliberate about checking in on those things.
Hi. We are taking a quick break to remind you to support our podcast by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Your feedback means a lot to us. And with that, we can put together more engaging and thought-provoking content for leadership and remote work.
I think maybe your 6 conversation points bleed into a side conversation that you and I had, that sometimes a team might be working well out there in the hybrid world, and it's the team leader that's screwing things up. Could you say a little more about that?
Yeah. So what we were talking about is there's, many ways we have to build our team, and we have to be very cohesive and effective within our team unit, but also across the organization, because no team works in isolation. And of course, then upward as well, right, to manage up. And I think so many team leaders default to really paying attention to the cohesiveness of their team, their effectiveness and their cohesiveness of the team. And of course, yes, because there's likely a lot of work to do there. But I have seen teams, and this gets to your question, of their gelling. I mean, their employee engagement scores might actually be higher than most other teams, but they've become this little solidified unit that is almost an us and them with the rest of the organization.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
And right now I'm coaching two people who have told me that they're caught in the crosshairs of that, because even though their team is working well, when they go in, and of course, oftentimes we're on projects where we're reporting to two different, you know, areas or two different leaders. And when those leaders are fighting, or when they're not able to effectively influence across, they don't know who to listen to. They're getting, you know, bad talk from their bosses, from the others, and they feel like they're caught in the middle of this fight. And that's not effective. So those leaders need to pay attention to managing across the organization.
I like that. Yeah. We have actually not heard enough of that. So that's why I wanted you to speak more about it. You also said something interesting in some of your work around leaders needing to be aware of their own biases, and how they define and reward potential, flexibility, and confidence. Share more.
Yeah. So because a lot of the work I do is with kind of women and other identified minorities, and most, I want to say most, fingers crossed, organizations today are paying attention to having, you know, diverse, inclusive teams, belongingness, whatnot, is we have to be incredibly aware now as leaders and as team leaders about how we're interpreting things like, well, so I started with flexibility, potential, and confidence. So flexibility, it's exactly what your podcast talks a lot about, this being able to. But back in the day when it was introduced, flexibility was seen as this panacea for, you know, working families, mostly women, but men as well, to, you know, kind of have it all at work. But it very quickly became seen as an accommodation, or interpreted as, like, I've had people tell me, oh, I don't dare take advantage of that policy because then I'm seen as not having drive, as not having initiative. So yeah, the policy's there, but I'm not going to use it because, you know, of the downside of it. So we and I think in this world of hybrid work, then we have to be really cognizant of, if we can't see people or if they're choosing to have that, how are we thinking about them and their potential and their performance, right? If we offer a policy, then we have to, you know, have the trust that people are doing that work. So that's something really I know that a lot of, especially women, are struggling with. In terms of flexibility. And then potential and confidence is, sadly, we still, and we all do this, all of us, we only have to visit the implicit association test online by Harvard to know that we all still, the world over, equate kind of leadership with masculine traits. And if we're being honest, it would be, you know, more white masculine traits. And so what happens is when we think about potential, we often equate that with, you know, assertiveness, charisma, ambition, and studies have shown, and there's quite a recent one that came out out of Yale, that in this particular retail sector, they looked at over 30,000 managers who were promoted or not promoted. And even though women had the best, like by far, performance, current day performance, they weren't seen as having the potential to go into. And again, you know, study after study shows this. So it's like, how are we thinking about potential and confidence, right? It's not always the people that are knocking down our doors or our Zoom calendars, whatever, saying, I want this, I want that, that are the best suited for opportunities. Yet our biases think that that's the case.
Yes. And we fall back on those biases. And I think the hybrid environment, unfortunately, and fortunately, plays to both sides. on the one hand, you're not in front of me as much anymore, so my biases may come up and I play to them now more easily. And the opposite, if I'm truly adopting some of these hybrid characteristics and behaviors that do increase inclusion, I'm now meeting more often one-on-one with some key players, and I'm seeing some opportunities now that I didn't see before because I just wasn't paying attention as much. I'm being much more mindful of reaching out. The studies over the next 5 to 10 years will be very interesting. So I do want to sort of conclude with, your expertise has been dealing with women and minorities. What kind of challenges, and you spoke about it a little, but why should we spend some special effort to that? And I will now share with you one of my biases that I don't know how Mitch would feel. There's a piece of me that doesn't want to go there. There's a piece of me that feels everyone is in the same boat. We all are going hybrid. We all have to see what the culture is. We need to see what those characteristics are going to be for success and failure. There's still going to be a definition for each, you know, organizations. And why should we look more specifically to women and minorities? Now, of course, I know the book answer to that. Could you please speak to it?
You were offering Mitch. I don't know, Mitch, did you want to say anything first before?
No, I was really intrigued by this conversation. I guess I'm representing the males in the room.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I guess I am. No, I'm really intrigued on now that we are hybrid and or virtual. And we would say, hey, what are the leadership attributes then that make someone successful in this world? Because even if you think about, if we think about retail, well, there's a retail store, but there's also people who sell things through now, mm-hmm. through social media and influence, the influencer market, right? So I'm just wondering, because as we cover mostly leadership in your answer, Tammy, as I'm looking for, you know, what are we finding that we should be promoting these types of attributes now? And it just so happens that a lot of, you know, could be minorities and women have some of these attributes, which will either level the field or make it more even or more uneven. I'm just kind of wondering about that.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. We could talk all day about this. Okay. How do I net out these? So I think there's two things on the table. Right. The first one is, Ginny, is your why, you know, why do we still need to kind of pay attention to this? Because the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
So when we look at the latest data that was presented at the World Economic Forum, and I'll say North America, so US and Canada, mm-hmm. we are still among the lowest, not only in representation, but in gender pay gaps. And you would think, oh my goodness, how can that be? We think of ourselves so progressive. We're not. That's it.
We can't, I guess I don't want to embrace that reality.
Yeah. So. I think we're number four worst. I mean, it's awful. We're right up there within OECD countries with gender pay gap.
Wow.
And even, for example, you know, let's stick with the retail sector since I gave the example. The vast majority who work in the bottom rungs of the retail are women, but the numbers aren't reflected up at the top. So like the numbers just don't lie, right? And so that's why we need to continue. And we're talking about women, but talk about intersectionality, about, you know, other underrepresented groups. It's just worse and worse and worse and worse. So that's why we still need to pay attention. And then, Mitch, in terms of your comments around, you know, yes, I agree. When we look at global 360 studies, women tend to fare better on most of the leadership competencies. Things we say are important, like influence and collaboration and teaming and gaining followership and all of those things. And yet, it's still not what counts up at the C-suite, mm-hmm. right? It's the strategic skills, it's the P&L, it's the business plan, it's all of that stuff. And I'm so passionate about this. I spend so much time talking to organizations about women have these skills, but we are so in the weeds with the tactical because we are so good and proud at running our to-do lists and our execution and give it to me and I'll get it done at work and at home for the most part, that we have those strategic skills, but we're not A, showcasing them, and B, being recognized for them. And that's still what gets up to the higher levels. Those are the skill sets. And it's kind of the only ones where women are perceived as lower.
Interesting.
Oh, so you're saying that in, so what you're actually saying on a couple of fronts is that women actually have a lot of the skill sets that are in the leadership skill set toolkit. They're just not historically and now not being recognized that they actually have those skill sets.
They're not demonstrating, they're not highlighting them.
Yes.
It's almost like, do you see what I just did?
Yeah.
You're not highlighting
this over here and this over here.
Yeah.
And then how can, and Tammy, you know, what language can they use? What kinds of things that they can use that will not only be noticed, but then accepted,
yes,
right? Without them being called a you-know-what.
Yes. Well, that's just it. And so now we're back to the stories and the mindsets again, right? So in terms of sharing, actually, let me tell you about this great project. If girls are socialized, you know, that's bragging, that's boasting, you know, socialized differently than little boys. And so this notion of that I actually have to, one, I shouldn't even have to tell people because my work should speak for itself. That's the meritocracy. But two, that if I do, it feels gross to me. Yes. And Jenny, to your point, but the research is mixed on this, that they'll get called a so-and-so, you know, if they do talk about kind of their capabilities. The research is mixed. So what I say is, if you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, you might as well do the thing that benefits you and everyone.
I love it. That's a fabulous place to finish. So how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, yes. So tammyheerman.com is my website, as well as LinkedIn and Instagram. And my book is at all major retailers, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, you name it.
Please give the name of this wonderful book.
Yes. So it's called Reframe Your Story, a real talk for women who want to let go, do less, and be more together. And and it highlights a lot of what we've been talking today and more.
Fabulous. Mitch.
Great. Well, I want to thank you, Tammy, for coming all the way from Toronto to visit us on the coast today. As we're just going to like leave here, go get some drinks and sit on the beach. So I do want to thank you for that. Thank you, Jenny, as well. And I want to thank all of our listeners who stay tuned every week. Please share this episode if you've loved it, as we have, with your friends, family, and colleagues. And we'll see you next time on our next episode of Team Anywhere.
Before we sign off for today, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us grow. And by subscribing, you'll be the first to know when our next episode is available.